Good morning, Space Church family. I'm so sorry I couldn't join you this morning. As I've recently tested positive for COVID, I felt it best to avoid in-person contact, so I'm delivering this message from home. It's my sincerest prayer that I haven't carried this infection into our congregation. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How difficult is it to change somebody's mind? How likely can you just tell somebody something and they'll believe? What is it that might do this? Wouldn't that be authority? In our first reading from Luke, a pagan centurion seeks Jesus' help to heal his servant. The centurion sought Jesus out because he recognizes Jesus' authority. He sees that Jesus speaks, and it is so. The centurion recognizes that Jesus' words make things happen. He carries authority. Even Jesus marvels at the centurion's sharp observation. Well, as many of you know, I otherwise work with teenagers, and so I can tell you about how nigh on impossible it is to change minds sometimes, and especially so in an age when there are no authorities. When everyone is accustomed to being affirmed in any belief they claim to have, and when all beliefs are considered equally valid, there are no authorities. Or, as is the case with so many kids today, they have simply become accustomed to whatever the authority says, not really happening at all. But so, if you cannot move the mind, if you can't change the mind, you have no chance to touch the spirit, to get to the core of what belief is all about. That is the control center of the will. So God has reached out to us in general revelation through creation. Creation, we said a few weeks ago, displays the Spirit of God and also his power and therefore authority. God has inspired scripture, that is specific revelation, which also displays his Spirit, and through his Spirit, scripture is accessible to us. And then there's the gospel, with its transformative power that brings us to the Spirit of God and enables us to communicate directly with God. Beyond this, there's the still small voice. But how do we know we're really hearing God and not just our own thoughts? Or even worse, the enemy? If you're among those who struggle with uncertainty about this, you're in good company. Even notable Christians like John Wesley struggled. Wesley wanted to be exceedingly sure it was God he was hearing. We must be responsible, according to Wesley, to take proper care to know that it is God's voice indeed. If we're not certain, we should remain still. According to Wesley, there should be nothing mystical, no magic formula, no gimmickry, no hysteria or self-exaltation, just a humbling experience. Yet God's word is to be reliably and safely sought and found, according to Wesley. While there are no formulas to induce the voice of God or to make certain that it is God's voice we hear, there are some good rules of thumb. And admittedly, there have been those who have claimed to hear God and committed atrocities attributing these things to him. Notably, the 70s era cult leader Jim Jones is an example. But it needs to be said at this point, Jones should have been called out early on, long before the Kool-Aid, for his revelations were not humbling, and they did lead to fear and hysteria. and they couldn't be supported through Scripture otherwise. God would never direct us to do anything that flies against Scripture or His decrees. So I believe it's so important that we hear God. Even the Old Testament prophets testify to this. Isaiah says that the ox knows its owner and the donkey its, his master, but my people do not understand. Jeremiah voices a similar concern. Even the stork in heaven knows its time, and the turtle dove and swallow and crane, but my people do not know the ordinances of the Lord. Hosea 6 sums it up starkly. Because they do not understand, my people go to their destruction. In our second reading from John 10, Jesus says the Pharisees do not recognize his voice, but his sheep, that is, his people, do. That his sheep recognize his voice and heed his voice. So now I'm sure we know we're an animal-loving congregation after all. Our animals recognize our voices. I know my dog certainly recognizes mine. In fact, I'm reminded about times that I'm away from home or have been away from home at school or on business trips and how I used to talk to my dog on the telephone. Soon the dog learned that any call might be daddy. And actually, even some of the time when I'm sitting there, come to realize I have a very nosy dog. Even now, when I'm on the telephone, he flops his ear back so he can hear who I'm talking to. So by the way, if we're ever having a conversation and you might not want to mention anything you don't want my dog to know about. The thing is, whether my dog or us as sheep of Christ, we learn to recognize our master's voice by experience, and experience carries the weight of authority. It would be a mistake to think that if God spoke to us, we would automatically know. The Bible makes clear that this is definitely not the case. We need to develop the ability to recognize the voice of the Lord. And this implies that a life lived listening to God still requires our own recognition and judgment. In human interaction, we recognize voice by the quality of the sound. This is how my dog recognizes my voice. He can hear in the tone that it's me. Beyond this, human voice carries with it a characteristic spirit. In the case of the dog, a spirit of reassurance and praise. And, you know, maybe with people, it could be a calming or passionate or even a cold or demanding spirit, depending on the situation and the relationship with the person. These all indicate attitudes or personal characteristics of the speaker. Finally, there's a matter of content, the information conveyed. Although this is rarely the most immediate sign of who is speaking, it is the most conclusive mark, for it reveals the history and experience of the speaker. My dog likely expects when I talk to him that I will tell him when I'm coming home, or I'll tell him that he is good and that I love him, and perhaps I might promise a walk. In fact, by the content of what is said, we might identify someone's words even if someone else is speaking them. For example, 67 years ago, you know, how long did it take to recognize Abraham Lincoln? How then does this work with identifying God's voice? With that still small voice, there is no tone or quality, just the impression it makes upon the mind. The impression, yes, this is true, this is right. This has authority behind it. While the voice of our mind argues with us, the voice of God simply speaks self-authenticating truth. In this way, it has the feel of the voice of God within it. In my own experience, while the insights revealed by this yet small voice often seem rather insignificant in themselves, they were experienced by me as literally staggering at the moment. Just as it is with human voice, the voice of God bears a characteristic spirit, a spirit of peacefulness, joy, reasonableness, goodwill. It's never loud, never hysterical, never bullying, just calm. And there is the content that marks the voice of God. God's word will always conform and be consistent with the truths about God's nature and kingdom revealed in biblical scripture. God's voice will never tell us to engage in any activity or relationship that is inconsistent with Holy Scripture. If it does not conform to the fundamental truths of Scripture, it's not from God. The Bible is central. And it's upon this point that cult leaders can and actually should be called out. Knowledge of Scripture is essential. In fact, nearly all the times I've heard from God have been times that I've been studying either the Bible or something based upon it. When we read Scripture, we begin to envision ourselves in the story, to see our own spirit being redirected. Is this redirection not also an interaction with the Holy Spirit? When we envision ourselves as prodigal and the Scripture communicates love into our heart, or when we pray for direction and we're reminded that whatever we do, we ought to do it for the glory of God, and when we try to adopt this in as a spiritual rule of life, all along, are we not in God's safekeeping? And when the bumps in the road come, and they will, and we need to revise what we believe, and we will, is he not faithfully there? And don't these occasions end up providing a more mature belief? For even with blessing from God, we're not promised a life free of suffering. What is it that brings Scripture to mind on such timely occasions? See, God's word is continually shaping our walk. It's shaping our minds and our spirits. Whenever and wherever you are in your walk, be encouraged. God is near to us. Lord Jesus, give us ears to hear your knock at our door. We're the sheep of your fold. We desire your voice. Get our attention and speak into our lives. And don't let us miss your knock. Attune us to hear your voice. Speak plainly to us and to those who are questioning. Leave us no doubt that it is you that we hear. Make us wise people with mature belief. In your name we pray. Amen.